His identity was stuck in the past. We've got that problem sometimes, don't we? We can't forget our past. We let it bug us. Satan's good at that, isn't he? Or maybe he tells a church, you're too little. You can't do anything. And I'm sure Moses must have felt like that. But remember God's answer? I will be with you. It's not who you are. If we're ever going to break the chains of Satan that he has on us, we must realize our identity in Jesus.
We'd like to say thanks for joining us for the weekly Beechwood Christian Church podcast with Senior Minister Mark Black.
I have our scripture reading this morning taken from Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing.
Okay, Bob, thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, as we come to you today, I pray that the word may grow in our hearts, that your word will impact our lives, that it not just be words, but your word. And I pray, Father, that as we look into this passage of Scripture, that we will truly realize the impact it has in our lives, and that we will live to give you glory and honor and praise. Give me words, Father. Empower me. I thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever had someone come up to you and say, well, who are you? Have you ever had that happen? How do you usually respond when someone comes up to you and says, who are you? Yeah, sometimes there's all kinds of different responses. Oh, my name is... Yeah, Putintame, you got that. My name is Mark. My name is whatever. And sometimes you even tell what we do as an occupation, don't we? My name's Mark Black, a minister at the Beechwood Christian Church. Here, on Easton, yes. And sometimes I've heard Carol say, my name is Carol and I'm Mark Black's wife. She said that. Yeah. And I've heard other people try to explain who they are. But the real question is, who are you? I mean, who are you really? Where is your identity? Who are you? Well, we've been studying on Wednesday evening Exodus. And I find a fascinating passage about Moses. And Moses, number one, Moses asked God, who am I? Did you ever notice that? Moses didn't know, he didn't know really who he was. He says, well, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? In fact, look at Exodus 3, 11 and 12. The Bible says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. Fascinating. So who is Moses? God answered it. God's answer to this question is, that's not important. Moses, it's not who you are. It's who I am. Have you ever thought about that? It's thought about. Now, it's kind of interesting. It's like God is saying, yeah, I know who you are, but I'll be with you. I wonder if that gave him confidence. I know who you are, but I'll be with you. You see, truly, friend, it's not who we are, but who God is. Amen. That's what it's about. And at this point in time, Moses didn't understand that. You see, Moses was stuck in the chains of his past. We get that way, don't we? I mean, this series is dealing with the idea of breaking the chains of Satan. We get stuck in our past, and we think that's who we are. I want us to look at number two, our identity. Our identity. Who are we in Christ? It's interesting, I took a course in counseling, and it was all about rejection and what it's like to be rejected. And in this counseling course, they gave 69 descriptions of who we are in Christ. I'm not going to cover all 69, okay? We'll get out of here. I understand that. But in Matthew 5, 13 and 14... Jesus made this statement to his people. He said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." And so Jesus is telling his disciples that you are the salt. You give life flavor. And you are the light. You show people who God is. Now that's part of our identity. That's a part of who we are. And in John 1:12, we find this. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name." You know what I am? I'm a child of God. Will you say that? Child of God. Isn't that great? We are children of God, all of us, who have received him. But you got to receive him. And then listen to this. I like this one. John 15:15. He said, "No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you." This is something else I am in Jesus Christ. I'm a friend of Christ. Yeah, let's say that. Friend of Christ. That's who you are when you identify with Christ. In Romans 8:14, listen to this. "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God," there's a condition there, "these are the sons of God." And listen to verse 15. "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father." Abba means daddy. Very, very personal name that we can say in our relationship to God the Father. Wow. So, I'm adopted. I have no fear. Isn't that great? That's what we are in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1:1, Paul said, "An apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus." That says, I am a saint. Say it. I am a saint. We got it? Wow. You know, sometimes we come from various backgrounds that says, oh, I can't be called a saint. But Paul calls Christians saints. We need to realize that's what I am in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and there's another condition, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So I am a new creature. Right. Wow. You know, this was some of the problem that Moses was having. His identity was stuck in the past. We've got that problem sometimes, don't we? We can't forget our past. We let it bug us. Satan's good at that, isn't he? Or maybe he tells a church, you're too little. You can't do anything. And I'm sure Moses must have felt like that. But remember God's answer? I will be with you. It's not who you are. If we're ever going to break the chains of Satan that he has on us, we must realize our identity in Jesus. Now, here's another one. In Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. We are his workmanship. Say that. His workmanship. Now, that's good, you know. I've had people say, boy, he's a work of art. I'm not sure they meant it in the way that I was hoping they meant it. But God is working on us, isn't he? He's working on us. And why is he doing this? Why is he working on us? Why is he changing us? Why is he giving us this new value system and everything? Because the Bible says in that verse, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's what we do when we become his workmanship. We do good things. We don't do good things to get heaven. Jesus took care of that, okay? We do good things because he's made us good. Now, here's one I like, Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ha, I like that. I am a citizen of heaven. Say that. Citizen of heaven. That's where I really belong. This world's going to get all messed up. Do you believe that? Yeah. The Bible tells us that this is evil days. And things are going to get worse. And I think, oh man. And then I have to remind myself, I'm a citizen of heaven. That's where I'm bound. That's where I'm going. That's where my hope is. That's where the promises are. I'm a citizen of heaven. In Colossians 3, verse 12, we find this. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Let me tell you, you're chosen of God. Do you believe that? You're chosen of God. God, you know, it's kind of like the basketball team. He looked out there and he says, I'll take you. I'll take you. You know, that was something that always kind of bothered me when it came to basketball. I hated it on gym day when we had basketball day. And I'm going, oh, great. You know? And then they would look, I want you, I want you. And then I'm finally standing there all by myself. I said, oh, okay, we'll take Mark. You see, I was kind of short back then. You probably don't believe that. But I was short back then, and I wasn't always chosen for various things. But I become excited when I realize that God has chosen me. And He's made me holy. He's made me different. Different from the world. He's given me a different set of values. He's made, and He's loved me. And I feel His love. And He's done this, and He's producing great things for me. In fact, let's read this. Chosen, holy, loved, producing great things. Yeah, that's what we are. And there's another thing in 1 Thessalonians 5:5. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. You know what that means? We live by a standard that is right, according to the Word of God. Not according to what, well, I think, or I think it ought to be this way, or I think. What's the Word of God say? We're given a standard by the Word of God by which we are to live. And that makes us walk in the light. We are not of darkness. Brothers and sisters, we should not be living a life and claim we are a Christian if we're living in darkness. Well, and here's another one. I really like this. Where we are sons of light, not practicing sin. And that's important. That is a very important concept. Because, you know, the church has been attacked so many times. Well, those hypocrites. Yeah, those hypocrites. You know, they say one thing and they live another. And we defame the name of Jesus and the identity that He wants to give us when we live in such a way. I want to live to honor my God and my Savior. Well, I love 1 Peter 2:9-10. Listen to this. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may claim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are a people of God, and you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You know, Peter's doing a little play on an Old Testament part of Hosea. And he's also doing a play on what Israel was called. But we're part of that kingdom. And that makes us a chosen race. That makes us a priesthood. That makes us a holy nation. That makes us a people for God's own possession. Wow. Isn't that a great identity? And that's what Christ gives us. Now, the purpose of all of this, according to this scripture, is that we are to proclaim through our lives the greatness and excellencies of God. How great He is. And of course, we know the 23rd Psalm. Let's read that together. I think it's up there, right? In Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It's hard for me to say in that version because I always want to say it in the King James Version. You know, we're kind of used to that. But you know what? This tells me, this psalm tells me that I follow the shepherd and that I have no wants. You know, as long as you're following Jesus, we shouldn't be concerned about, I want this, I want that, I want this. Because God really does give us everything that we truly need in life. Now, the third part of all of this and this identity is, are you living who you are, and are you sharing who you are? You see, that's the important part. Does your life match who you identify with? Are you identifying with your past? I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, Moses was stuck in his past. He had gone and talked to, when he was in Egypt and he lived in Egypt, he had gone and saw the Hebrew children. And remember that there was a Hebrew and an Egyptian, and the one was beating the Hebrew, and he killed that Egyptian. Then he went back the next day and he saw two Hebrew children fighting. And he separated them. And do you remember what was said to him? Who made you ruler over us? 40 years later, God says, I want you to go back to Egypt and let my people go. Free them. And what Moses is stuck in his past. That didn't work. I tried it. That didn't work out. I'm stuck in my past. And you know what? As long as he did that, people, as long as he was stuck in his past, he wouldn't allow God to use him. It's time we realize who we are. Not live in that past. Are you stuck in your old identity? Are you stuck in your past? Well, listen to this, and this is the main scripture that was read earlier in Galatians. Galatians 2, 20 through 21. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died needlessly. You see, Christ died to get rid of our sins. The law couldn't do that. But Christ could. And therefore, I don't have to live in my past mistakes. I don't have to live with that identity. Oh, there may be some consequences. And boy, doesn't Satan like to use that. Yeah, he just keeps a punching at you. Keeps throwing it in your face. But you are a new creature in Jesus Christ. My identity is no longer what I was, but who I am in Christ. My past is dead. And I need to let Christ live in me. The Christ's Holy Spirit now lives in me. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because it's not about me. It's about Him. Satan doesn't want your identity to be found in Christ. He doesn't want you to accept Christ. Because he knows what freedom can happen to a person who becomes a new creature. He wants those chains to be stuck around your wrists. And you stuck in your past. But God has come to free us. My chains are gone. I've been redeemed. Yeah. Break the chains of Satan with your new identity. Who am I? I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. And I follow the Lord. That's who I am. And He's made all kinds of great things out of me. And I want to glorify his name. Maybe there's someone here today that hasn't accepted Jesus. You're stuck in living in that past. God wants to free you. He wants to make you a new creature. We're going to offer a hymn of invitation.
Beechwood Christian Church is located at 12950 Easton Street Northeast in Alliance, Ohio. You can find more information about our church on the website at www.beechwoodchristian.org. That's www.beechwood, like the tree, Christian, that's all one word, .org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast and learn how our humble congregation is serving the Lord in Northeast Ohio. If you would like a copy of this message or the whole series on CD, you can find the instructions on the website or email us at sermon@beechwoodchristian.org. Again, we thank you for listening and pray God's blessing on you and your family.